Okay. Fish, can you just remind other members as well that the meeting is starting? We're starting.
Will do, Chip.
Gershon, did we receive any apologies from members?
No, Chavis, no apologies.
It's 17:31. But anyway, greetings to you, honourable members, and greetings to the Deputy Minister and your team from the Department of Police, as well as from the Civilian Secretariat of Police. Just in terms of attendance, we expect all members of the Select Committee on Security and Justice to be present, but if I can just give an indication, we have Honorable Dudu from the Northwest Province, Honorable Mkosi from Mpumalanga Province, Honorable George Nicolakis from the Free State, Honorable Hadere from KwaZulu-Natal, we have Honorable Zandanela from Mpumalanga Province, Honorable Fuleku from the Western Cape. Honorable Bartlett from the Northern Cape, myself from Mpopo, and I'm not sure if I picked any other honorable member, but I think honorable members will be joining us as we continue. And a special welcome to you, Deputy Minister, in your entourage from the Department of Police and the Civilian Secretariat on Police. Honorable members, as part of our oversight responsibility and also a result of members expressing an interest to receive more information, especially with regard to implementation of the Domestic Violence Act, we invited the Department of Police and the Civilian Secretariat for Police Service to report to the Committee on the implementation of the Domestic Violence Act at the level of police stations. Deputy Minister, and I will probably give you an opportunity perhaps later to also introduce your team. Before you actually do your presentation. Members, just to remind you that the Domestic Violence Act 116 of 1998 obliges the South African Police Service to report to Parliament on the number and particulars of complaints received against its members in respect of any failure contemplated in Section 4A. In Section 4A refers to a failure by any police officer with an obligation imposed in terms of the Police National Instruction 7 of 1999, issued by the National Commission of Police. SAPS must also report on action taken against SAPS members, as well as SAPS members who are victims and perpetrators of domestic violence. In addition, SAPS must report on the disciplinary proceedings instituted, decisions emanating from such proceedings, and steps taken as a result of recommendations made by the Civilian Secretariat for Police Service in respect of such non-compliance with the Domestic Violence Act. On the 15th of July 2021, on the Minister of Police tabled the reports on the SAPS implementation of the the Domestic Violence Act. The period covered were in respect of the 1st of April 2022, September 2020, and the 1st of October 2022, the 31st of March 2021. On the 23rd of August 2021, the Civilian Secretariat of the table its DVA monitoring report on SAP's implementation of the DVA for the period of 1st of October 2020 to 31st of March 2021. And this year, on the 22nd of January, the Minister of Police further tabled the latest report on the SAP's implementation of the Domestic Violence Act. The period covered being the 1st of April 2021 to the 30th of September 2021, and the Civilian Secretariat DVA monitoring report on SAP's implementation of the DVA for the same period was also tabled on the 1st of February 2022. So today's presentation will cover these periods, and after the presentation, we'll then afford members of the committee to engage both the South African Police Services as well as the Civilian Secretariat and Police on the implementation of the Domestic Violence Act. Perhaps, Deputy Minister, I'm going to be handing over to yourself, and perhaps you can also allow your teams to at least get a representative from the department or can the Civilian Secretary of Police to just indicate who is also present in the meeting. I know from the side of the Department of Police, they also requested that there be provincial representation as well. Deputy Minister, let me then hand over to yourself. And once again, welcome.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and members of the committee, for allowing us this moment to update you with regard to the work that we do regarding the subject matter that we are dealing with this evening. It's dark where I am because of the weather condition, raining. It looks like it's in the evening, and hence I say it that way. I should indicate, Chair, that the National Commissioner is not with the team, but the team is being led by the Deputy National Commissioner. There is General Masemola and the other generals. He will introduce the team that is with him in Pretoria. And we also have the Civilian Secretariat. I've seen Itumeleng Moagi is here, but I think the Acting Secretary, Mr. Takalan Ramaru, should be part of the team. If he is not there, Itumeleng will do the honors of introducing the team that is with them. If you may allow, Chair, I'll request that we request General Masemola to introduce the team, or General Vuma, either one of them will do so. And thereafter, we allow the Civilian Secretariat. And I'll request that if you allow, General Masemola can then proceed to lead with the presentation of our report. He will designate General Mutala to do the presentation as the responsible divisional commissioner. But thank you very much for allowing us an opportunity to come and account on what we have done on these issues since the last time we reported to yourself and the team. If you may allow, I'll request General Masemola or General Vuma to lead with the introduction of the team through you, Chair.
Sure. Please go ahead, General Masemola or General Mutala.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Myself, I'm with the following: Lieutenant General Mjinga, the Deputy National Commissioner for Crime Detection.
Hello, Masimola. Are you able to fix your camera? Yes. Okay. Yeah. I see. Now we can see you. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Honorable Chair. I'm also having Lieutenant General Zulu, Lieutenant General Jacobs, Lieutenant General Ntinga, Lieutenant General Reed, Lieutenant General Sintumule, Lieutenant General Mahlala, Major General Lesese, Major General Matonzi, Major General Peters, Brigadier Van Rooyen, and Brigadier Malahlela and Colonel Steyn. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. Without wasting time, we'll proceed with the presentation, and General Mahlala will lead us with the presentation on domestic violence. Thank you very much.
General Mahlala.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, and the Honorable Deputy Minister of Police, and all senior managers on the platform. Today we will be doing a briefing by the SAPS on the implementation of the Domestic Violence Act, Act number 116 of 1998. Next slide. Next slide. The purpose of this presentation is for the SAPS, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, to brief the Select Committee on Security and Justice on the implementation of the Domestic Violence Act. Next slide. The next slide, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, is the presentation overview. And the presentation overview is talking to the background, the domestic violence by annual report for the period 1st April 2021 to 30 September 2021, number and nature of complaints, departmental action instituted against SAPS members, number of complaints per province, SAPS members as alleged domestic violence perpetrators, the next one, SAPS members as victims, SAPS members convicted of Domestic Violence Act offenses, the seizure of firearms, monitoring and evaluation, training and capacity building, public education and awareness campaigns, continuous improvements on the monitoring the implementation of the Domestic Violence Act, measures put in place to enable all victims access services at police stations, the role of the FCS in the implementation of gender-based violence, challenges faced by SAPS officials in the implementation of the DVA, recommendations to improve the implementation of Domestic Violence Act. Next slide. We can go to the next slide again. Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, on the slide on the background, it is just giving us the SAPS mandate in terms of Section 18.5 of the Domestic Violence Act, whereby it is actually indicating that the National Commission of South African Police Service must every 6 months submit a report to Parliament regarding the number and particulars of complaints received against its members in respect of any failure contemplated in subsection 4A. Then the disciplinary proceedings instituted as a result thereof and the decisions emanating from such proceedings and also steps taken as a result of recommendations made by the Civilian Secretariat for Police. So the prescribed reporting period are as follows. The first reporting period is 1st April to 30 September, and the second reporting period is 1st October to 31 March. Next slide. The next slide, Honorable Chairperson, is just also, is just a further information to indicate that in addition to the legislative reporting requirements, the Select Committee on Security and Justice requested that the SFA should report on matters regarding members as victims and perpetrators, as well as firearms seized in the process and the number of police stations where members are deployed. The SAPS is also reporting on the broader management of the domestic violence program. Next slide. In the next slide, Honorable Chairperson, is just a continuation of the background where it's indicating that the SAPS is monitoring the implementation of Domestic Violence Act through Domestic Violence National Instruction 7 of 1999. And also in the next bullet, it is talking about the Domestic Violence National Instruction 7 of 1999 is intended to provide clear direction to a member on how to respond to a complaint of domestic violence in order to comply with the obligations imposed upon him or her in terms of the Domestic Violence Act of 1998. Next slide. On the next slide, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, it deals with the biannual report in terms of Section 18.5D of the Domestic Violence Act, which will be from 1st April 2021 to 30 September 2021. Can go to the next slide. On the next slide, it is a table, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Starting with failure to complete SAPS 508A and 508B, we have 35, the number of complaints is 35. Failure to record domestic violence incidents in the occurrence book and pocketbook, 3 complaints. Failure to file protection order is 2. Failure to arrest the perpetrator, here we've got 0. Failure to open a case is 15. Failure to serve a protection order is 0. Failure to submit pocketbook entry and endorse case number is 1. Failure to confiscate the firearm of a perpetrator is 0. Failure to do first level inspections is 1. Failure to render a satisfactory service to the victim is 2. The total is 59. You can go to the next slide. On the next slide, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, is the departmental actions against SAPS members per province. On DS1, remedial steps, we can see there the highest province that is recorded departmental actions taken is Western Cape with 28, followed by Free State with 1, and the total is 29. And on DS2 verbal warning, the total number is 14. The highest contributing provinces there is Western Cape and Free State. And then on written warning, DS3, the total is 5. And we have 2 in Free State, 2 in Western Cape, and 1 in Gauteng province. On DS3A, final written warning is 0. Departmental investigation, serious under investigation, the total is 11, with Western Cape 6. Free State 3, Gauteng Province 2, then the total is 11. On DS4B, departmental investigation, serious under investigation, guilty is 0. And also DS4C is 0. And then the application for exemption granted failure to complete SAPS 508A and 508B is 0. And then when you go down on the total number of disciplinary proceedings, we can see that for Free State, the total number is 13. For Gauteng Province is 3. And then for Western Cape is 43. And the rest of the other provinces is 0. We can go to the next slide. On the next slide, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, is the number of complaints per province. Then for Eastern Cape, Honorable Chairperson, we have 0. For Free State is 13. And then it was reported in the following months for April 2, for June 6, July 2, August 2, September 1. The total is 13. For Gauteng province is 3, which was all reported in September. For KZN is 0. For Limpopo is 0. For Mpumalanga is 0 up to Mpumalanga, Northern Cape and Northwest. And then for Western Cape, the total is 43. And then it's reflected as follows. For April is 1. For May is 17. And then June and July is 0. For August is 4. September 21, the total is 43. Then when we look at the most months which we had a number of complaints, it is September 25, followed by May 17, and then August and June is 6 each, and the rest of the others is below 3. The next slide. When you go to the next slide, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, SAPS members as alleged domestic violence perpetrators, starting with Eastern Cape, the number of members who are identified as alleged domestic violence perpetrators in terms of SAPS 548C, Eastern Cape 1, and the number of police stations at which members are identified as alleged domestic violence perpetrators is also 1. For Free State, it is 26, and then the number of police stations is 26, and the number of police stations is 19. For Gauteng is 26, and the number of police stations is 17. For KZN, the number of members is 6, the number of police stations is also 6. For Limpopo is 2, and then the number of police stations is 2. For Mpumalanga is 4 members, and then the number of police stations involved is 3. For Northern Cape, members is 3, and the number of police stations involved, 3. Northwest, number of members, 3, and then number of police stations, 3. For Western Cape, the number of members is 76, and the number of police stations is 41. The total is 147, total number of members, and then the number of police stations that were actually identified is 95. We can go to the next slide. In the next slide is SAPS members as alleged DV perpetrators. And here on this slide, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, is just it's depicting the names of police stations and the number of officials reported as alleged perpetrators. We can see that, Honorable Chairperson, on this slide, the highest number is at Phuthadichaba and also Fixback, and then followed by Koffiefontein, and then the rest of the other stations, except for Thabong, which is 2. The rest of the other stations then is 1 each. We can go to the next slide. In the next slide, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, still with Free State, all the police stations as reflected is 1 each. And the total for Free State is 26. For Gauteng, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members is 26. And the highest station where the members were alleged as DV perpetrators, it's Vereeniging 3, Hartsfontein 3, and then Krugersdorp 3, and the rest of the other stations is 1 each. And then when you go to KZN, the total number is 6, and all police stations that is reflected is 1 each. And then in Limpopo, total is 2, Mutetema and Matlala, which is 1 each. And in Mpumalanga, the total is 4. And then the police stations as reflected, Kabokweni is 2, Amsterdam 1, and Hendrina 1. Then for Northern Cape, the total is 3, and Galeshewe, Colesberg, and Kuyasa, they are all one each reported for those members. For Northwest, the total also is 3, Rustenburg, Hebron, and Mahikeng, one each. Then for Western Cape, the total is 76, and the highest number there is actually 8, Mitchell's Plain, Beaufort West, 7, and then followed by PAL 7, and the rest of the other stations is 2 and below. We can go to the next slide. On the next slide, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, SAPS members as victims of crime, the total there, number of SAPS members identified as victims of domestic violence in terms of SAPS 508D, the total number is 73, with the Western Cape 34, the highest number there, followed by Free State 19, Gauteng 9, and then the rest of the other provinces, KZN 5, Mpumalanga 2, Northwest 2, and Eastern Cape 1. And on the number of police stations at which SAPS members are identified as victims of Domestic Violence Act in terms of SAPS 548D, the total number of police stations is 51, with the highest recorded at Western Cape 18, followed by Free State 15, and then Gauteng 8, KwaZulu-Natal 5, then Mpumalanga 2, and then both Northern Cape, Northwest, and Eastern Cape 1 each. The total is 51. You can go to the next slide. On the next slide, it's still continuing, Honorable Chairperson. For Eastern Cape, the total is 1 at Jeffreys Bay. And for Free State, the total number is 19, and the highest station there, we can see Welkom, and then Silo Secha and Lukhof, and the rest of the other stations, and Fixback is 2 as well. The rest of the other stations is 1 each. The total is 19. We can go to the next slide. The total for Gauteng is 9, with the highest being Rubber Ridge, and then the rest of the other stations is 1 each. Then KZN, the total is 5, and all 5 stations reported 1 each. Limpopo, 0. On the next slide, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, is SAPS members as victims also continuation from Mpumalanga is 2, which is for the 2 police stations, Hendrina and Mongezon, 1 each. And then for Northern Cape, it's 1 for Colesberg. And then for Northwest is 2, and both the 2 are at Rustenburg. And then for Western Cape, the total is 34, with the highest number recorded at PAL 6, Beaufort West and Strand 5 each, and the rest of the other stations is 2 and 1. Then total is 34. Next slide. Still continuing, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, SAPS members on 2.6. SAPS members convicted of domestic violence act offenses. Eastern Cape is the total is 10, with the highest being at East London 4, and the rest of the other stations is 1 each. Then for Free State, the total is 14, with the highest being at Kagisanong 3, Welkom 2, and the rest of the other police stations 1 each. The total is 14. Then when you go to Gauteng, in the next slide, Gauteng is the total is 7, with the highest being 3, and the rest of the other stations is one each. The total is 7. And for KZN, the total is 15, with the highest being Mountain Rise 3, Kwamakuta 2, and then Port Shepston 2, and the rest of the other stations 1 each. The total is 15. The continuation also on the next slide, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, for Limpopo, the total is 6, with 1 each for all the 6 police stations. For Mpumalanga, it's 1 for Pina, and for Northern Cape, the total is 14, with the highest being at Pabalelo 3, Katu 2, and then Upington 3, Calvinia 2, and the rest of the other stations 1 each. Then the continuation of the SAPS members convicted on the next slide, convicted of Domestic Violence Act offenses, for Northwest is 4, with 1 each for all the police stations. And then for Western Cape, the total is 18, with the highest recorded at Dijsselsdorp 3, Pal East 3, Table View 3, and the rest of the other and Lente here 2, and the rest of the other stations 1 each. The total is 18. The next slide, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, seizure of firearms. The number of firearms seized from SAPS members, the total is 75, with the highest being at Western Cape 26, Gauteng 17, Free State 16, and KwaZulu-Natal 6, and the rest of the other stations 4 and below. And then the number of firearms not seized from SAPS members is 0. The number of members not issued with official firearms, the total is 72, with the highest recorded at 50 for Western Cape, and then 10 for Free State, Gauteng 9, and then followed by Northwest 2 and Northern Cape 1. And then number of private firearms is from SAPS members, the total number is 2, and the 2 all in Gauteng. And the total, Honorable Chairperson, is 149. Of the firearms that were seized, both official and private firearms. We can go to the next slide. Monitoring and evaluation. The SAPS is engaged in ongoing monitoring of police stations, and visits to selected police stations are done on the basis of prevalence or lack of reporting, which includes sometimes also announced and unannounced. Members are engaged in order to ensure that they are able to implement Domestic Violence National Instruction 7 of 1999 as required. As part of the monitoring the implementation of National Instruction 7 of 1999, regular inspections of relevant registers and forms are conducted by officers to monitor compliance by members. Division Visible Policing and Operations also conducts station compliance visits to monitor the same. Where serious cases of non-compliance have been identified, the commander is obligated in terms of paragraph 17 of Domestic Violence Instruction 7 of 1999 to take action steps against such a member. Minor incidents of non-compliance are rectified immediately, and members are encouraged during station lectures and on and off duty parades to ensure compliance. The next slide, Honorable Chairperson, continuation of the monitoring evaluation. Domestic Violence National Instruction 7 of 1999 was reviewed and approved on the 2nd of July 2020 to ensure proper implementation of the Domestic Violence Act. And then on the following bullet, participation in the joint compliance forum with a provincial. Yes, Honorable Chairperson.
Sorry, that wasn't me. It's Okay, they've muted. Please continue.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Participation in the joint compliance forum with both provincial and national civilian secretariat for police members and coordinators.
Recording in progress.
So we jointly have this joint compliance forum, which are at national and provincial level with civilian secretariat for police. We are currently also revisiting jointly and standardizing measurements so that it may be applied in a comprehensive manner. And on the issue of training and capacity building, basic training contains a module on domestic violence, and all new intakes are beneficiaries of skills development in this regard. The following learning programs are conducted through in-service training. The first one, which is for 5 days, is the domestic violence learning program. And then the second one is for 10 days, domestic violence train the trainer course. And the third one is for 5 days, national victim empowerment training. And then the following courses, as indicated below, are also presented as an integrated part of basic police development learning program: victim empowerment, first responder to sexual offenses, domestic violence, and vulnerable children. Then the domestic violence learning program was approved on the 27th of March 2019 and handed over to Division Visible Policing and Operations by Division Human Resource and Development, which is responsible for our training in the South African Police Service. Next slide. On the next slide, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, is talking to public education and awareness. Provinces are continuously conducting public education and awareness programs to address gender-based violence in partnership with civil society and government departments. SAPS members conduct awareness raising campaigns to address gender-based violence and victim empowerment in support of the calendar of events such as Youth Month, Women's Month, Crime Victims Rights Week, which is in September, Trafficking in Persons Awareness Month, October, 16 days of activism campaign, which is also on an ongoing basis. Provinces conducted different public education and awareness programs such as door-to-door campaigns, whereby they were distributing gender-based violence pamphlets to the public and including our own internal SAPS members. Next slide. Continuous improvement on monitoring the implementation of the Domestic Violence Act. We're focusing on strengthening of joint compliance fora, which is between South African Police Service and Civilian Secretariat for Police. The joint compliance fora meetings are planned as follows: monthly for the provincial fora, quarterly for the national fora, twice a year for the joint national and provincial fora. And then on a quarterly gender-based violence and femicide steering committee meetings, both nationally and provincially, are also being conducted. Monthly interdivisional forum meetings are also conducted. Monthly social crime prevention coordinators forum is also conducted. We can go to the next slide. Measures that have been put in place to enable all victims access to services at police stations. The first one, SAPS has put measures in place to enable all victims access to services at police stations. SAPS has a total of 1,155 police stations. A total of 1,014 police stations have victim-friendly rooms, which meet the minimum required standard. A total of 141 police stations are utilizing alternative rooms. A total of 1,102 police stations, including units, have victim-friendly rooms which meet the required standard. A total of 286 police stations have established gender-based violence desks, and the remaining 869 police stations are in the process of establishing gender-based violence desks by the end of March. The continuation, Honorable Chairperson, next slide, on the measures put in place to enable victims access services at police stations. The SAPS has implemented the Domestic Violence Act through the Disability Action Plan. The aim of this plan is to deliver quality policing and emergency management services, taking into account the needs of persons with disabilities. The SAPS Case Management Intervention Plan, the implementation plan on GBV desks seeks to improve the gender-based violence case management, and also it is in the university that the GBV desk will be mechanism to improve the quality of service received by victims of gender-based violence. GBV and Sexual Offences Action Plan. The purpose of this plan is to ensure that GBV and sexual offences are addressed through a coordinated approach by all SAPS disciplines, including all our stakeholders, like Civilian Secretariat of Police. Next slide, Honorable Chairperson. It's talking about the breakdown of the number of victim-friendly rooms. And it is for the third quarter, 2021-2022, it's as follows. For Eastern Cape, police stations with victim-friendly rooms is 161, and then for Free State is 87, for Gauteng Province 139, KZN 155, Limpopo 88, Mpumalanga 86, Northern Cape 76, Northwest 73, Western Cape 151, and the total is 1,016. At satellite police stations, Honorable Chairperson, Free State is 9, and then Western Cape 21, and then Gauteng Province and Limpopo 2 each, and then KZN 1, Mpumalanga 1, Northern Cape 1, and the total is 37. For the contact points, it's 1, and that one is at Western Cape. At international airport, we have 2, 1 in KZN, and 1 in Western Cape. At FCS units, we have the total of 46, and 15 at Western Cape, 8 at Northwest, 2 Northern Cape, 1 at Mpumalanga, 5 Limpopo, 10 KZN, 3 Gauteng Province, and Eastern Cape, 2. At railway police stations, and coaches, we have none. The total for Eastern Cape is 163, for Free State is 96, Gauteng Province 144, and then for KZN is 167, Limpopo 95, Mpumalanga Province 88, Northern Cape 79, Northwest 81, Western Cape 189, and the total is 1,102. Can go to the next slide. The next slide, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, is talking to the role of FCS in the implementation of GBV. The mandate of the FCS unit is to ensure the effective prevention, investigation of FCS-related crimes in terms of their mandate and excellence in service delivery to victims of family violence, crimes against children and sexual offenses, increase the detection rate of the domestic violence crimes. You can go to the next slide. On the next slide, Honorable Chairperson, is challenges faced by SAPS officials in implementation of the Domestic Violence Act. The first one, Honorable Chairperson, is buildings with limited space for the erection of victim-friendly rooms may require the relocation of premises, which can be a lengthy process, because some of these buildings, Honorable Chairperson, where we have some of our police facilities are actually heritage sites, and we are not allowed to actually tamper with those facilities. And then the next one is buildings that cannot be renovated due to being non-devolved. For example, the declaration as national heritage and privately owned buildings, etc. Means on a continuous negotiations to be made regarding the enhancement or relocation. the high capital cost of construction limits, the number of buildings or renovations that can be made per year within the prescripts of the Public Finance Management Act. For the period 1st April 2021 to 30 September 2021, the training of SAPS members was derailed due to COVID-19 pandemic, but we are currently in place with in the process with Project 10,000. On the next slide, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, recommendations in respect of improving implementation of Domestic Violence Act. The first one is continuous compliance inspections and capacity building of members. Prioritize the training of SAPS members as first responders. Ensure consequence management of non-compliance, distribution of provincial directives, public education and awareness campaigns such as Easing Diesels, provincial forum meetings to engage with provinces on implementation, good practices, and also challenges that are faced. On the next slide, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, is just dealing with the issue of the amendments to the Domestic Violence Act on to the DVA on SAPS, which is putting as follows: compulsory arrest of respondent upon contravention of protection order, additional powers to obtain protection order from victim, for instance, in the use of force to enter premises where entry is refused. Victim will be able to apply online for a protection order, creation of a repository at the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development to manage counter protection orders. Then as it continues, is also the revision of the Domestic Violence Act regulations, the revision of the National Instruction 7 of 1999, the training of members on the amendment and inclusion of the amendments in the learning program, system enhancement regarding integrated electronic central repository for domestic violence protection orders, e.g. electronic SAPS 548B commenced. Awareness and change management to internal and external clients. That's all from my side, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. I submit. Thank you.
Thank you very much, General Masala and General Masimola for that presentation. I think we also going to take the presentation from the Civilian Secretariat and Police in terms of their monitoring of SAPS on the implementation of the Domestic Violence Act. The Deputy Minister indicated that the Acting Secretary is here, Mr. Ramaru. Mr. Ramaru, if I can perhaps hand over to yourself. You could please introduce your team as well and then take us through the presentation. I know that there obviously there are areas of overlap, so perhaps you'll see then how to also present without necessarily repeating a lot of what Seth has said. Mr. Romaro.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. And good evening, Chairperson, honorable members. Good evening, Deputy Minister, and good evening, colleagues. Maybe before we do the presentation, I would like to introduce the team. With me, I have Ms. Neo Matlangu, Ms. Itumeleng Lidwaba Moahi, Ms. Ayanda Tongwana, Ms. Twaita Msada, Ms. Wusima Zibugo, Ms. Maputi Zelana. They are all from the National Office Civilian Secretariat for Police Service. Chairperson and Deputy Minister and honorable members, we also have members or colleagues coming from provincial secretariats attached to departments of community safety.
Mr. Romaro, if I may interrupt, and my apologies. Are you able to put on your video? I'm sure we'd like to see it.
Okay.
If you don't have network challenges, can you put on your video, please?
I hope you can see me. I think I'm having lighting challenges.
Okay, we do see you. Please continue.
Okay, thank you so much.
Just using special globes. Okay.
Okay, Chairperson, I was saying we also have colleagues coming from provincial secretariats from the departments of community safety in provinces. We have Mr. David Kutia from Western Cape, Mr. Mahashi Mutsweni from Mpumalanga, and Mr. Bongani Kubayi also from Mpumalanga. We have Mr. Mohiti Masilo from Free State, Ms. Nziki Sisulu from Gauteng, Mr. Molefe Murule from Northwest, Mr. Derki Jason from Northern Cape, Mr. Mvuseni Mngai from KwaZulu-Natal, Ms. Pumla Ngakula from Eastern Cape, and lastly, Ms. Manji Nhlane Mthimkhulu from Limpopo. That is the team that is accompanying me. I will go straight to the presentation, which I will ask Ms. Ayanda Tomwana to present on behalf of the Secretariat. Thank you, Chairperson. Ms. Tomwana, through you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Acting Secretary. Good evening, Chairperson, Deputy Minister, and Honourable Members. As the chairperson has said, I'll try to make sure that I don't dwell much on the areas that are similar to what SAP has already presented on. In terms of the presentation outline, is we're just going to do the introduction of the Domestic Violence Act, the prevalence of domestic violence, the role of the Civilian Secretariat, and that includes the Provincial Secretariat. Monitoring of DVA compliance and implementation, the status of DVA compliance as per the 2018-19 report that we did, and also the current status of DVA implementation, the mechanisms to improve compliance, training, and other proactive measures, implementation challenges, and then lastly, it will be the recommendations. Okay. I think this is the first page that I'm also going to skip because I think the chairperson in her opening remarks made mention of this. And also the SAPS did mention the introduction part in terms of the Domestic Violence Act and our role and what it's meant to do. In terms of the prevalence of domestic violence, one of our focus was based on the quarter three stats that were presented by the SAPS this year. So like we said, domestic violence continues to be amongst the highest contributors to conduct crime in the country. And various studies indicate that it is highly underreported due to its nature. And that means that it is a crime that mostly happens behind closed doors and between people that are closely related. So even though policing and visible policing can be happening, but then it's still possible that domestic violence can be happening behind the scenes. The numbers of domestic violence incidents reported to the police can be influenced by a number of issues, and these include the prevalence of incidents within a particular community and also the level of trust in the police by the community. What we mean here is that when communities believe and trust that the police will respond to their concerns or to their cases when they report, they are more likely to report, and that will tend to increase the numbers, the stats in particular police stations. When we look at the prevalence, looking at the graph across, we can see that Gauteng had the highest reported cases with 9,309 cases reported during this period, which was between October and December of 2021. And then also it was followed by the Western Cape with 7,780 cases, with KZN after that 3,040 and Eastern Cape 2,751 and Free State completing the top five there with 2,678 cases reported. In terms of the gender representation of these cases reported, out of the 30,277 cases, domestic violence related cases that were reported across the country, 76% of these cases were perpetrated against females, which translates to 23,144. And 24% of these cases were perpetrated against male victims, and that is 7,133 cases. The role of the civilian secretariat and the provincial secretariat. In terms of Section 18, 5, subsection 5, subsection C of the Domestic Violence Act, it mandates the CSPS to submit reports to Parliament on substantive compliance with the DVA. And furthermore, Section 6 of the CSPS Act mandates the CSPS to monitor and evaluate subs compliance with the Domestic Violence Act, to make recommendations to the police service on disciplinary procedures and measures with regard to non-compliance to the Domestic Violence Act, and also to provide the minister with regular reports with regard to implementation and compliance with policy directives issued or instructions that are made by the minister. Additionally to this, prescripts, the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, Section 206, subsection 3, subsection B, also mandates the provincial departments to oversee the effectiveness and efficiency of the police service, and this includes receiving reports on the police service. So these are all the legislative prescripts that guide the role of the civilian secretariat and the provincial secretariat. Then in putting this mandate into effect, the CSPS, in collaboration with the provincial secretariat, conducts police station monitoring visits in order to assess the compliance and implementation of the Domestic Violence Act by the police at police station level. And the scope of the monitoring visits is focused on looking at both regulatory compliance and implementation of the Domestic Violence Act by the police. So when you look at that graph on the side, it just shows our role that we do oversight, then we check compliance level, then we make recommendations to the police on what needs to be corrected, and then the police are expected to implement the recommendations that we have made. The department, in terms of like now monitoring the GVA and compliance and implementation, the department took a resolution to conduct a police station census every 5 years in order to develop a database that will be used as a comprehensive baseline for continuous monitoring of police performance. And the reason why this process is done every 5 years is because of capacity constraints, reserve constraints, because we do not have enough capacity to visit all the stations on annual basis. So we felt that we need to have that process of doing it every 5 years. And then in between the censuses, we focus on certain stations. The first census was conducted in the year 2018-19, and the next one will be conducted during the 2023-2024 financial year, which is we are starting to prepare for that during this coming financial year. Then in between the censuses, the police station monitoring is focused on assisting police stations to improve their performance by monitoring implementation of recommendations and developing improvement plans. And then this presentation will therefore provide as a baseline information compliance levels in 1143 police stations that were identified during the census of the 2018-19, and also a comprehensive DVA implementation status in line with findings from the recent oversight visits conducted by the CSPS and the provinces. In monitoring DVA implementation, you just need to clarify that so that can be clear what it is that we are assessing when we go to police stations. Firstly, we look at regulatory compliance, which assesses the police station's level of compliance in line with the following: availability of relevant documents in the community service center and in the vehicles that are used to attend to complaints in line with Section 3. Subsection 5A2E of the Subnational Instruction 7 of 1999. We also assess record keeping with specific reference to maintenance of registers and proper filing of documents. Like this includes all the relevant forms, Title 8As, C's and D's, and also protection orders. And then we also assess the submission of relevant monthly returns. You would have seen with the SAPS, they have stats there in terms of the members that are victims, that are perpetrators, that are offenders that have failed to comply. So we also check whether those monthly returns are being submitted as they should be. And then we also look at the accessibility and maintenance of the victim-friendly rooms in, at police station level. And then the second area that we assess is non-compliance by members. And in this area, we mainly focus on looking at the administrative non-compliance, which is when the SAPS members fail to comply with the Domestic Violence Act by not fulfilling the administrative obligations as we have noted above. And also we look at operational non-compliance, and this is when a complaint from the public is received due to failure to provide the required service as prescribed by both the Domestic Violence Act and the national instructions. Based on the 2018-19 census, the compliance level of police stations nationally is presented below, just so that we can have an understanding of what each of the levels mean. The full compliance is equivalent to 100%, and this is looking at the administrative compliance. So when all the areas that we assess as part of administrative compliance are fully met, and we give the station a rating of 100%, and then we have significant compliance as the level two, which is rating between 70% and 99%. And then we will have partial compliance as level three, which will be rated between 50% and 69%. And then anything that is rated below 50%, which is 49% and downwards, we rate that as a non-compliant station. So during that census, our findings showed that we had 21 police stations that were rated as full compliance. We had 929 police stations, which was the majority of the police stations that were under the level of significant compliance. And we had 181 police stations with partial compliance and 12 police stations rated at the level of non-compliance. And we have the provinces there that had those particular stations, like in the Eastern Cape, we had three that were non-compliant, Free State 2, KZN there was one, Mpumalanga there was five, and Northwest there was one police station. And then now the current status of implementation. When we look at the current status and we compare it with the baseline data, which I had just presented, the compliance levels seem to be decreasing. And we've noticed that even though there are improvements that we see in certain stations, but the improvements tend not to be sustained. And some of the reasons that we have identified as the reasons for stations not being able to sustain the improvement is the change in station management, which often results in breakdown on systems that had already been established. It's the unavailability of dedicated and consistent and trained DVA coordinators, because we find that stations that have DVA coordinators that are there for longer and have been there for a while, they tend to be doing much better because there is someone who is coordinating and monitoring the implementation at the station. Also, inconsistency in inspection of registers by commanders. What we normally see here is that when we check the registers, we find that the commanders do sign to show that they have inspected the registers, but then they do not make notes of the areas or the problems or the challenges that they've identified. And in that instance, members are not aware of what they are doing wrong, and therefore corrections are not made. And then based on findings from police stations visited during April to December 2021, there were only four police stations which were in KwaZulu-Natal that were rated at the level of full compliance. And there were 29 police stations in three provinces, which is KwaZulu-Natal, Gauteng, and Free State, that have achieved below 50%, which is considered as a non-compliant level. And considering that this was just a sample of police stations, not the full population, this is why we are basing our reasoning to say the compliance levels seem to be decreasing, because when we looked at the previous slide, there were only 12 police stations out of the entire population of police stations that were rated below compliance level. And okay, the breakdown of compliance is indicated below in terms of provinces. In the Eastern Cape, during this period, there were 68 police stations that were visited, and all the police stations that were visited were found to be partial complying. We didn't have anything that was non-complying or that was full complying. In the Free State, 102 police stations were visited, and 32 were found to be on significant compliance. 61% were on partial compliance, and 9 police stations were found to be below 50%. In Gauteng, they had managed to visit all of their 144 police stations during this period, and the compliance levels were 91% of the police stations were found to be on significant compliance level, with 44% on with 44 police stations rather on partial compliance, and 9 police stations found to be on non-compliance level. In KwaZulu-Natal, a total of 77 police stations were visited, of which 4 achieved full compliance, and 27 police stations were rated as significant compliance, and 35 partial compliance, and we had 11 police stations that fell below the 50% mark. In Limpopo, they also managed to visit all of their 104 police stations, and all the stations were found to be on partial compliance level, and with no stations being either on significant or full compliance or below compliance. In Mpumalanga, they visited 30% of their police station, which is equivalent to 27 stations, and all those police stations were found to be partially compliant. In the Northern Cape, 44 police stations were visited, and all of those also were partially compliant. In the Northwest, 83 police stations were visited, and 50 of those stations were rated as significant compliance, and then 33 were on partial compliance level. In the Western Cape, 18 police stations were visited, and also none of the stations there were found to be on full compliance or below 50%. Then the current status of DVA implementation continues. Looking at non-compliance by sub-members, we found that there are still gaps in implementation of the Domestic Violence Act by police members, as reflected by non-compliance incidents recorded. A total of 79 non-compliance incidents from 5 provinces, which are Eastern Cape, Free State, Gauteng, and Limpopo, and the Western Cape, were reported during this period, with the highest number of non-compliances reported in the Western Cape. And out of these, non-compliance continues to be the most reported type of non-compliance within the police, with 47 non-compliances falling within this category. And the following categories of non-compliance incidents were identified. It was failure to complete the 508As and B. It was failure to record DV incidents in the OB and pocketbook, failure to register the protection order, failure to submit the pocketbook entry, and endorse the case number. And then in terms of operational non-compliance, and this refers to non-compliance complaints, we say that non-compliance complaints can be an indication of dissatisfaction by community members, but also it can be an indication that communities are becoming aware of the available opportunities for reporting police non-compliance. And then disciplinary proceedings are instituted for members who have failed to comply unless an application for exemption is submitted. So what happens with an application for exemption, it is after the subs have investigated their member and found that they have not done anything wrong, then they will submit an application to the secretariat for that member to be exempted from being disciplined. The exemption is granted by the CSPS upon receiving proof that there was no wrongdoing by that particular member. So which means when SAPS is submitting the application, they must submit with evidence that shows that the member has done all they were expected to do in carrying out their duties. So in terms of SAPS records, there were 17 incidents of operational non-compliance that were recorded, and they've made mention of that. And then in terms of the CSPS records, there were 15 members that reported to the CSPS and the provincial secretariat, and those members were reported for the following non-compliance. There was one member that was reported for failing to assist a victim using the language of choice. As we know that the Act and the National Instructions indicate that when a victim goes to the station, they must be associated in a language that they can easily understand. So in this case, that was not the case. And then we had 9 members that were reported for improper conduct at the police station. And this entailed a group of members that the complainant said when she went to report the case, the police made fun of them. And then there were five members that were reported in different police stations for failure to make an arrest after the incident was reported. Out of all these members, 15 members, there were 3 members that applied for exemption, and it was granted for all those 3 members. Then in terms of mechanisms to improve compliance, as indicated by General Mutalam, we have the compliance forum that we have forged between the two organizations, and we use this session as an accountability structure where we subs would account to us in terms of our responding to the findings that we will present to them, but also over and above that, we strengthen communication between the two entities. We share findings and recommendations. We present each other's report, and also we will use it as an opportunity to do joint initiatives to improve implementation and compliance. And then at national level, the SPS is also coordinating the following initiatives: monitoring the GPV, the implementation of the GPV desks that offer specialized response at police station level, as was indicated in the previous presentation, partnering with civil society organizations to offer refresher training to improve compliance, conducting multi-sectoral stakeholder engagements and accountability sessions in order to develop area-specific intervention plans that will be implemented and monitored, developing police station focused improvement plans, and conducting awareness campaign and educational campaigns on SAPS and CSPS DVA responsibilities. In the Eastern Cape, in order to address problems identified at police stations, they have implemented the following. When they do their station visits and they find that the station does not have all the relevant documents, so they will provide those documents to the station so that the station can be able to record and register incidents as they should. They've also been involved in capacitation of members on how to properly complete those particular documents. Also, they provide assistance with the development of intervention plans by the station commanders. And also, they implement a project of the court watch briefs with specific focus on GPV-related cases. In Gauteng, they have the GPV Brigade project, which has ensured direct interaction with communities, and that's highlighting gaps that might be pointing to non-compliance DVA by SAPS members. They also provide victim empowerment and support services through Ikaele Temba and Everton facilities. They've got floor managers project in police stations, and this assists in minimizing secondary victimization, as the floor managers will help to direct the victims as they come in terms of where they should go, especially those that are victims of GBV, without having to be exposed to everybody at the CSC. They conduct docket audits on DV-related cases, and this is to assess the quality of investigations. They have also recently procured vehicles to assist with police resources within the province. Also, they've got targeted training for frontline SAPS members to ensure more effective services to GBVF victims. And currently, they've trained in quarter two, they've trained 60 members. In quarter three, they've trained 36 members. And in the current quarter, they are planning to train 50 members, of which I think the training should have commenced. Gauteng also has district-based GPVF multi-sectoral forum that supports the SAPS, specifically the medical legal services and the family justice support services. In Free State, they are utilizing the compliance forum to engage with the SAPS and to be able to resolve any challenges that come. In Mpumalanga, the management from Port Authority Station is engaged in order to resolve and improve implementation of DVA at station level. And also they do conduct training in the form of work session to members, and this is focused on correct implementation of the DVA and national instruction. In KwaZulu-Natal, they also focus on the development of the improvement plan as turnaround strategies and continuous monitoring of the implementation of recommendations by the stations. They also regularly conduct workshops with DV coordinators in the entire province in order to improve their levels of understanding the Domestic Violence Act and the national instructions. They've got accountability sessions that they do through the compliance forum. They conduct joint oversight visits with the police to stations that have been identified as problematic. And stations that are performing poorly or badly are adopted by the province, and then they are being monitored regularly as a way of ensuring that they improve their compliance levels. In the Northern Cape, they had, during this period, identified 24 police stations for continuous monitoring and development of improvement plans, and they continue with community outreach programs. In the Northwest, they have developed a framework that they are using to provide guidance on effective police station monitoring and support. They also have the project of the court watch brief, which is conducted to assess the quality of investigation by the police, as well as the prevalence of domestic violence. And then the findings that come out of this project, the court watch brief, is used to inform a awareness campaign targeting areas with high prevalence. And then in Limpopo, the province is regularly conducting capacity building sessions as well with SAPS members in the province. In the Western Cape, they also have the compliance forum that they use as a platform to discuss management of non-compliance, and also SAPS poll reports to the forum on findings from their inspections that they have conducted, and this allows for an opportunity to provide guidance and support to the police. In terms of training and other proactive measures, SAPS has, since 2008, incorporated DVA training into basic training. So this basically implies that all members that joined SAPS from 2008 going forward have received training on DVA. And also, in order to assist members that might have joined the service before then, they've got different capacity building sessions that they do implement. Provinces are also engaging in capacity building of members through the following: partnering with civil society organizations to provide workshops to identified members, and also conducting work sessions in conjunction with SAPS Human Resources Development Section. The EC is planning to conduct capacity building sessions for all domestic violence coordinators in the program, in the province. And the program was planned to commence during February 2022, and I think that might have commenced also, like with Gauteng. Also, regular awareness campaigns on DV are conducted jointly with the police by all provinces in order to empower community members to understand the role of the police as well as the role of the secretariat. A capacity building of domestic coordinators and commanders is an ongoing project in the KZN as well, just to ensure that members are kept abreast with development. In terms of the implementation challenges, there is still a number of members that are DV perpetrators, and this is concerning. As it was presented by SAPS earlier on, the table across shows the number of members that are reported to be perpetrators during the period that we're reporting on. And also, what was of concern to us is that there seems to be non-compliance with the Firearms Control Act, in that out of those 239 members that were perpetrators, there were only 75 firearms that were seized. And we know that in terms of the Firearms Control Act, any person, irrespective of whether they are a SAPS member or just a general community member, once they've got a domestic violence incident reported against them, then if that person has a firearm, it should be seized. It is also not clear in the report whether the Section 102 inquiries or disciplinary proceedings were conducted for the members whose firearms were seized. And continue with the implementation challenges. There is the general lack of psychosocial services, especially for the stations that are in rural and farming areas. And this poses a risk of survivors of domestic violence not getting the immediate professional counseling that they might require. There are also unreported DV cases due to the distances that must be traveled from the residential areas. And this also affects mainly the rural areas to the police stations. Because of this, other incidents end up being reported to the traditional leaders, who tend to mete out their own justice outside of the criminal justice system. So these cases will fall through the cracks and the victims will not get the justice that they should be getting. There is also poor coordination of the service of protection orders between the courts and the police stations. What we find is that some protection orders that are served by the sheriff are not recorded at the police stations and there are no copies kept. And the risk that this poses is that if it can happen that the victim loses their copy of the protection order or the perpetrator destroys that copy, then it would mean that the police cannot immediately respond. Otherwise, the victim will have to go back to court to get another copy. Protection orders are also not saved timely by police stations, and this is mainly in the rural areas, and this is also due to resource constraints. We also see the withdrawal of domestic violence cases in courts, which is too high, and this is mainly due to mediation by family members sometimes, and sometimes cases taking too long to be resolved at the court. As a result, the victims lose interest in the cases. Also, the DNA results, where they are required, take too long to come back from the FSL, and this causes a high volume of withdrawal of cases by the courts. Also, another key area of concern for us was the lack of sign language and other languages interpretation services at police stations to assist with opening of cases. In terms of the recommendations, and these are province-based, the recommendations that came from the Eastern Cape are as follows. They're recommending that there should be training of traditional leaders as they sometimes become the first responders on issues related to domestic violence and gender-based violence. Also, there is a need for public education campaigns in partnership with the Department of Social Development as the custodian of the Victim Empowerment Program, and they recommend that this should be intensified. All stations should have dedicated DV coordinators and functional gender-based violence desks to assist with quick, swift response to victims. And they're also recommending that the establishment of the FSL for the Eastern Cape province should be a fast track. VSPOL members, including DV coordinators, must be trained on sign language. The Free State, they recommend that there should be improvement in the working relations between all stakeholders, and also there's a need to maintain a proper and functional referral system among stakeholders. This will also assist in the process, in the challenge of the lack of lack of access to psychosocial services. They're also recommending that the SAPS must strengthen consequence management and accountability on police members who fail to apply the service standards in the performance of their duties at all levels, and that staff training must be geared towards discouraging any criminal conduct, and disciplinary measures must be exemplary to show everyone that criminal behavior will not be tolerated. In the Gauteng, there is a need to intensify capacity building among staff members, especially those that are at service delivery level. Measures must be put in place to ensure improvement in all those police stations that were found to be non-compliant, and progress reports should be provided to the department on a monthly basis. They're also recommending that all 144 police stations should ensure that findings made during the DVA audits are corrected, and that evidence of such must be recorded on the improvement plans of each police station. In KwaZulu-Natal, the recommendations are as follows. Staff should ensure that all the stations keep records of non-compliance by members as mandated. First and second level inspections on staff, Circle HB and the OB must be conducted regularly and consistently. The staff should take into consideration the deployment of female members in their recruitment process to accommodate stations that do not have female members deployed in all shifts. I think this arose because mostly this also happens in small stations, especially the farm stations, that one might find that the shifts do not all have female members, so there might be a shift that does not have a female member in there deployed, and this is because of the scarcity of female members in that particular police station. Training of members on domestic violence related legislation must be prioritized. In Limpopo, they recommended that regular training of all members, especially at the CSC, must be a priority. Every station should have a DVA designated member to assist with proper coordination and record keeping. And I think if there could be the GPV desk functioning in all police stations, this area could be addressed. There should be consideration to have specialized units handling all domestic violence and GPVF related cases. And I think General Mushala did make mention of the role of FCS in dealing with domestic violence, so that would also need to be strengthened. In Mpumalanga, it is recommended that the National Treasury should allocate funds to all provinces to fill the desired staff complement, so that oversight on domestic violence acts is fully implemented to deal with the non-compliance levels at police station. This recommendation from Mpumalanga is based on the fact that there is not a common allocation of resources across the provinces, so it makes it difficult for certain provinces to be able to fully conduct their oversight role. The Northern Cape, they recommend that the compliance forum must embark on a joint monitoring project so as to empower police stations that are struggling with non-compliance and reporting. Also, that consequence management should be implemented for members who fail to comply. They also think that there are stations that do not have victim-friendly facilities in their province, and therefore the SAPS should prioritize the provision of these facilities for those particular police stations. The Northwest continues to monitor and support the SAPS in implementing the Domestic Violence Act. They hold regular engagement sessions with the police to discuss identified gaps and challenges and ways to address those. They also will continue to conduct the court watch briefs as one of the mechanisms of monitoring the efficiency and effectiveness of the SAPS at courts, focusing on DV cases. They're also going to continue to intensify the fight against GBV by involving stakeholders and all community members in activities such as crime prevention through environmental design. And this includes clearing of identified crime hotspots. And also they will continue to fund NPOs to implement crime prevention initiatives. The Western Cape made the following recommendations: that there should be attempts made to analyze domestic violence dockets in order to generate data on repeat victimization and offender patterns. And this will help to inform strategic interventions on domestic violence. They're also recommending that there should be attempts made to create a domestic violence dashboard to store, process, and disseminate the information in a user-friendly manner. Also, the digitizing of DVA forms and registers will lessen the administrative burden on staffs for recording DVA cases and make the storage, management, and accessibility of information easier. I saw in General Mutala's presentation that he made mention of the 508, the process of digitizing the 508B, that it has commenced, so that's highly applauded. The SAPS system should also be linked to the Department of Justice for easy management of protection orders and case flow. And that chairperson brings us to the end of our presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Chomwana, and the Acting Secretary of the Civilian Secretary for Police, Mr. Ramal. Thank you very much for the presentation. Honourable members, these are the two presentations on the implementation by SAPS on the Domestic Violence Act, as well as the monitoring of compliance and recommendations by the Civilian Secretary for Police. I know the presentations were pretty lengthy, but they were so because they provided information on all nine provinces. Our Deputy Minister, I'm not sure if you want to add something now, or can I go ahead and request Honourable Members to make comments and or input.
No, you can ask members to comment or may ask questions. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. On members, if you can please indicate by raising your hand. On members, okay, I see there's ongoing glasses. I think you can perhaps kick off. And then on with the Dovum Kutis and the Nella Bartlett. Yeah, we'll follow. Honorable Vikalati.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, I'm going to start with my questions to the SAPs. General Motlala, I see that the failure to complete the SAPs 508A and 508B forms make up the majority of the complaints that you've received. In fact, that's 59% of the complaints that you received. Now, I want to refer you back quite some time to the 13th of May 2013, that's 9 years ago, to a portfolio committee meeting of the National Assembly. And perhaps Major General Masemola will remember, because he was part of the delegation back then, where it was said 9 years ago already that the failure to complete SAPS 508A and 508B forms were the major concern. And still, 59% of all the complaints that you receive relates to this very same problem 9 years later. Can you please explain to me why in the last 9 years this has not been adequately and sufficiently addressed? Then I want to know, of the complaints and the actions that you mentioned there, how many, I mean, you indicate how many complaints and the different, the nature of the different complaints, but you don't indicate to us how many of those complaints are actually repeat offenders within the SAPS. Can you please give us some clarity on that, and possibly some stats as well? If not right now, to submit it to the committee in the next few days. My third question relates to specifically the Free State and the Western Cape, and I would very much like to know why the complaints in these two provinces specifically are so very high. And I would like to hear from you in this regard, as well as from Mr. Kutsia and Mr. Masilo from the Western Cape and the Free State Civilian Secretariats, because it's their provinces. But I would very much like to hear from you why in these two provinces the complaint figures are so high. And then also, what happens to the alleged perpetrators within the SAPs? We've heard there are a few members in the police service who are being accused of being perpetrators of gender-based violence, or domestic violence rather, themselves. And we got the numbers for that, but we don't hear what is happening to them. And I would very much like to get a breakdown of the steps that are being taken in that regard. Then just, Chairperson, with regards to the victim-friendly rooms, we've heard from the SAPS how many stations have got victim-friendly rooms, but we don't have the stats of how many of these stations are without victim-friendly rooms. And if we want to strive to having that at as many stations as possible, then I do think that the committee needs to be supplied with those figures as well. Chairperson, then I also see that in the breakdown of the action steps that the police took, that about 90% of the complaints were dealt with, and it says next to it as not serious. Now, in my opinion, any complaint against the police with regards to domestic violence should be treated as serious. Can the police please tell us, when do you regard a complaint as serious, and when does it is it regarded as not serious? Chairperson, then there are just a few discrepancies between the information of the Civilian Secretariat and the information given by the police. The Civilian Secretariat pointed it out, and I would just like to get the police's response on that. And I'm nearly done, Chairperson. With regards to the presentation from the Civilian Secretariat, I just have one or two questions. I see there, with regards to the stations that are compliant and not compliant, that in the 2018-19 figures given with regards to the Free State, Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal, the Free State had in 2018-19 two non-compliant stations, Gauteng 0 and KwaZulu-Natal 1. But then with the latest stats of 2021, that goes up the Free State from 2 to 9, from Gauteng 0 to 9, and KZN 1 to 11. Do I read these stats correctly? And then my last question, Chairperson, is we've heard from the Civilian Secretariat that 75 out of the 239 cases firearms were confiscated. That means that in only 31% of the cases firearms were confiscated despite the Firearms Control Act putting a requirement on the police to confiscate those firearms. So my question to the SAPS is, why in 67% of the cases do you not enforce this country's laws, specifically the Firearms Control Act, when it comes to your own members? Thank you, Chairperson. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much,
Honorable Chair. Firstly, let us welcome the two presentations. They were very much detailed in terms of the statistics, the kind of challenges that the police and the secretariat are dealing with in respect of this important area. And we really welcome that, even though some of the statistics are quite concerning. Honorable Chair, 24 years ago when this Domestic Violence Act was promulgated, replacing the prevention of domestic violence, everybody, I think, in the country was quite excited because it ventured into important areas which were not covered in the past in relation to family violence specifically. It broadened the scope of what is called a victim. It broadened the scope of what interventions are needed in respect of, for example, the issuing of warrant of arrest, the issuing of the protection order, whether interim or permanent, against the perpetrators. And that was very, very much good. But what are the facts saying currently, Chair? The facts are saying that the incidents of domestic violence, of gender-based violence, has escalated in the country. Maybe my question in general terms is, don't you think that there are serious shortcomings and limitations in terms of the current legislation as it stands? I was listening to the Secretariat. The Secretariat was identifying some of the key shortcomings, especially coming from provinces. And I would imagine these are the people who are actually dealing with the situation on the ground on a daily basis. Now, the general question that I have is, don't you think 24 years later that we need to revisit the legislation, that we need to amend this piece of legislation so that it covers all those shortcomings which have been identified? One of the key issues, Honorable Chair, is the fact of one of the research articles that I saw, it indicates that some policemen do not have the necessary training or they lack the skills in terms of dealing with this kind of cases. And my question is, do we accept the piecemeal approach that I hear being mentioned here? Do we have a very substantive program of capacity development to ensure that those officers who are dealing with this kind of cases are fully equipped and knowledgeable in terms of the work that they are supposed to do in this particular instance? I'll tell you why I'm raising this point, Honorable Chair. In the same research that I picked up, there are a lot of cases that are opened against the police, and in the acknowledgement of the police, some of the resources are depleted. The police resources are depleted as a result of the cases that are launched against the police and against those who have not handled these particular cases quite properly. And therefore, the question is, don't you think that we need a very substantial process of capacity development that will help both the victims, including the offenders, because some of even the offenders, they commit this. Next time they commit it again, they commit it again in so many times. Don't we just think of having a rehabilitation program for even the offenders so that they might desist from perpetuating this kind of criminal offenses against our country. The bottom line, Honorable Chair, as I've indicated, is to say, don't you think, and I want to solicit your response in this regard, don't you think that the time is ripe that we must revisit the whole legislation, identify those particular shortcomings, and address them? Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable
Dodo.
Honorable
Mkosi. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. To the Deputy Minister and my colleagues. Honorable Chair, I want to join the honorable members when they are saying that we welcome the presentation made by the SARS and the civilians. With these presentations are very much informative. There's a lot that we got from those presentations. Chair, one, I must also apologize for not opening my video. I won't be able to open my video. Let me go straight to my questions, Chair. My first question is in relation with the perpetrators that is also asked by Honorable Mikalakis, that they are perpetrators with regards to domestic violence and there's nothing indicated as to what has happened to them. I just want to add by saying, as the committee, we want to get more context to what the underlying issues are in relation to these members and what support or assistance is offered to these members in respect of education and support. My other question is in related to slide 22, refers to members of FAPS who are victims of domestic violence once again. What measures are being undertaken to assist these members? What programs are in place within FAPS to offer support to victims? The other question is referring to the seizure of firearms. What will be the reasons that inform SARS not to issue a member with a firearm? Further, what were the reasons for the seizure of firearms from SARS members? In relation with the monitoring and evaluation, bullet five, where serious cases of non-compliance have been identified, the commander is obliged in terms of paragraph 7 of domestic violence instruction 7 of 1999 to take actions or steps against such member. What is the nature of the action steps that are taken against members? Please elaborate on that one. The other one is that is mentioned, it's in relation with awareness raising and public education. However, what one-on-one support is available to members? Further, does SAPS have debriefing sessions with members dealing with domestic violence cases? And if so, who assists with these sessions for members? My last question speaks to measures put in place to enable all victims access to services at police stations. What are the challenges in establishing the GPV desk at police stations? What measures are put in place to address this? Lastly, Chair, on slide 47, amendments to DVA, what is the nature of the working relationship between SAPS, CSPS, and the Department of Justice in respect of the amendments to the Act? I submit, Chair. Thank you very much.
Honorable Zandanella. Honorable Zandanella.
Thanks, Chair. Actually, my colleagues have covered me in a lot of things. But I just have a plea, Chair.
and a concern, because it looks like as a committee, even if there's things that comes to our attention, we just wait for the committee to sit and then we raise those things and all those kind of things. And I'm appealing to you, Chair, if there's a way that we are able to communicate with all law enforcement agencies. Can those that channel be open to us and be given to us as a committee? Because there are things, as I said, some of my colleagues, they have covered me on those things. And there are things that are happening, especially in provinces. We represent provinces, and there are things that are happening. And some of the things, we just have to wait for 6 months, or if not more than that, before those things are coming to the attention of the committee. We send questions to ministers. We do all those kind of things. But can we have a direct contact, especially with the representatives of the committees that are sitting today in this committee? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Zandamala. I think that question was referred more internally, but I think if you relatively covered by the other questions that members have also raised to the to both staff and the CSP. Honorable Bartlett?
Yes, thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Chairperson, I must also apologize for not switching on my video. And then, Chair, I have a few questions which I want to ask. The first one is on slide 4, Chair, which speaks to the prevalence of domestic violence in Gauteng, and especially in the Western Cape province, where the highest incidence of domestic violence reports are. So, Chair, I just want to find out if you can elaborate on why these two provinces have such high stats. What is being done to address this? And then, Chair, on slide 8, where it speaks to the DVA compliance implementation, what level of assistance is provided to subs on a provincial basis to improve this performance? And then, Chair, on slide 9, which indicates that 21 police stations, which are spread over all four provinces, they are fully complying with the census, but what is being done to ensure full compliance from all police stations? What challenges are being encountered in this regard? And then on slide 14, Chair, on the 9 incidents and the improper conduct by the police officials, what is the nature of this improper conduct and what is being done to address this problem? And then, Chair, on slide 22, where the number of police officers are also perpetrators, 239 police officers, Chair, and it's highly concerning, Chair. Police officials should be educated around domestic violence and what is being done in respect of education and awareness raising for police officials in order to reduce the incidence of domestic violence perpetrated by police, especially police officials. And then the last one, which refer on slide 23, Chair, it is also concerning that services that are inadequate in rural areas in particular, what measures are being undertaken to address these challenges? Chair, I think it's all that I want to ask, if you can just give an answer today. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
You know, thank you very much, Honorable Buffett. I think the questions that all honorable members have raised are pretty extensive and cover quite in detail both the presentation. I would not want to repeat some of the issues said, but perhaps maybe just add, you know, with regard to with regard to SAP, what are the practical concerns or challenges that are faced by SAP members in respect of domestic violence cases, especially in respect to entering premises, gaining the trust of victims, or any other challenge that may not be evident from the report? And furthermore, what is SAP's relationship with the community policing forums in respect to assistance with the domestic violence cases. I think with regard to the CSPS presentation as well, does the CSPS, are you in the process of also forging relationships with community police forums and neighborhood watch forums to assist with the reporting of domestic violence as well as to victims of domestic violence? I think the CSPS presentation from slide 15 onwards, you deal with the compliance forum between the CSPS and SAPS that has been set up at national and in all provinces, and I think if it's functional, this should be certainly commended. But you also highlight mechanisms to improve compliance in the various provinces. But just in terms of your relationship with SAPS in these compliance forums, when you deal with non-compliance issues, also when you deal with your recommendations, are you getting the necessary cooperation from SAPS? And if not, what are the challenges? And I think you've also raised a lot of implementation challenges, I think in a couple of slides. And I want to also know whether these kind of implementation challenges are also being raised at the level of the compliance forums. And I think my final question relates more to your recommendations that you're making to province and perhaps Deputy Minister. I know the provincial commissioners are present. Perhaps they can also perhaps comment. I think those are the questions from my side, Deputy Minister, but I know it's a lot of questions. It covers both presentations. There are some questions that would require further responses, especially around statistics and other information that we would require. But let me then hand over to you, Deputy Minister. I know we might just have about an hour to try and get through the responses. The way you can categorize and deal with the responses, please do. Some of the questions were overlapping. And where you think you may need to provide us with additional written information to also indicate that. Thank you very much, Deputy Minister.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Chair. I'm experiencing problems of connectivity, Chair, so I will try to maximize by not opening the video. We will definitely respond in writing to questions that we will not have enough time to elaborate on. But I must say that as a department, we are at your disposal. If there are issues that committee members will want to be briefed on at any time, they should, through you, convene us, inform us. We will be more than willing to come and update committee members on any matter that they need. Like I've heard, there was a concern that was raised. And the other issues that were raised, I will request through you, Chair, that we allow General Masemola and the team, together with the acting secretary, to respond. We can start with General Masemola. When they finish, then we will request that the acting secretary, Mr. Ramaru, will lead the team. And those that we are not able to talk to, we will come back to you in writing. Thanks very much, Chair. If you may allow, we ask General Masemola to come. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. General Matamon. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I will respond to the question together with the team. On the first question, the issue of the completion of forms. It is true that yes, it is recurring, and however, we do take steps against those members that do not comply, but unfortunately, this keep on recurring. We have, well, as far as making sure that members that start at the police training while they are still new, one of the modules which they do is domestic violence. General Zulu will elaborate later on that. We make sure that all the new entry into subs are trained on domestic violence. But it happens now and then that at the arena of station commanders, members still make those mistakes. We report them, but we do take actions against them. In terms of how many members are repeat offenders, that I think the Honorable Chairperson and the Minister, maybe we will have to send that one in writing. We will not have the answer on the spot. In terms of what happens to the members that contravene, that do not comply, yes, we do take action. I think General Mhlala did show a slide where he indicates what we do on each category of a non-compliance or a misconduct, where there is verbal warning, written warning, departmental action that follows. Police stations without victim-friendly facilities, we have got 139 of them. And what we did do, as you have seen on the presentation of General Mhlala, there are those that the premises do not have space, and we always have made use of other facilities like your FCS unit is nearby. And those that do not have the facility, but they do have space, we are in the process to acquire, we are acquiring park homes that we do capacitate them in terms of furniture. We do that. Currently, there is the supply chain management, General Reed, they had to finalize the contract in this regard for us for the next financial year to buy some of those park homes to supply to those police stations that do not have. With regard to the question of why we don't comply with the law to full extent in terms of the recovery of firearms. Now, in terms of how we implement domestic violence, we do, when you confiscate firearms, we do confiscate all. The fact that you will see 75 firearms and not proportional to the number of members, the reason is that some of the members you would have seen on the presentation, especially in Western Cape, almost 50 members, they were not issued with firearms. What that means is that in terms of the 75, members were issued with what you call SAP 108 firearm. That is a personal firearm that the member protects himself with. He takes home and back. But the other number of members, they are not issued with that type of firearm. Some of them is their own choice. They don't want to take a firearm home because where they stay, sometimes they stay in a shack and there is no safe place to mount a safe. Just one example. But some prefer not to take a firearm home, especially you find that in Western Cape quite a lot. And in that regard, these members get issued with a firearm when they report on duty. You get issued with a firearm, and when you finish this specific shift, you hand in back the firearm. So such members, if he becomes a perpetrator of domestic violence, you do not have to withdraw a firearm from him because you already have the firearm. All you do is that you make sure you don't, in any way, he was not taking a firearm home. So there is no need to withdraw any firearm because he's not issued with one. With regard to, there was a question around what do we think, what are the shortcomings in the legislation? Don't we think it needs amendment? the legislation has been amended. If you recall the last two slides which General Mhlala presented, those two slides refer solely to the new areas which have been improved in the legislation. But remember, not long ago, the president have signed three bills into law. One of those laws was the Domestic Violence Amendment Act, which was facilitated by the Civilian Secretariat of Police. With regard to, do we have development or training capacity? General Zulu, speak to that. What is the reason for seizure of firearms for members in terms of our prescripts currently? Is that if a member becomes a perpetrator of a committed domestic violence, we take the firearm away? That is the law. And also members of the public, if they also contravene and they are perpetrators, we do take their firearms away and we invoke section 102, which is an inquiry in terms of determine whether a specific person is still fit to possess that firearm or until the case is finalized and we look at the circumstances. So that is a proactive measure, of course, to prevent further incidents that happen. You'll recall there has been a number of cases where our members attend domestic violence complaints and they get shot. I think the last one was somewhere a year or so ago in Santin, where police members attended and the gentleman shot one of our members who passed on. With regard to the high number of cases in Western Cape and in Gauteng, the high number of domestic violence, it's one of those that these two provinces seems to be having high number of cases, whether it's because of their population. We haven't yet determined or did a study on that, but yes, indeed, they do have a high number of cases. In terms of what are the practical challenges with regard to the implementation of domestic violence, with regard to that question, a challenge around this area which is not yet resolved in totality in terms of a new law is that there is a number of, quite a substantial number of people or victims that withdraw cases when they get to court. Because you remember right at the beginning, those cases, if one submit a statement to the investigating officer that you are no more interested in the case, then that case will not see the door of the court. But the law was changed that this type of cases can only be withdrawn in court before the presiding magistrate. And currently that is the case, but you still find people that will invoke the protection order on a Friday or a Thursday or Friday, most cases, and the warrant is served, police arrest the perpetrator, and then come Monday morning, the complainant comes forward, wants to withdraw. But as we do not do, obviously, he knows Monday we're going to court, and he begs the magistrate that I'm no more interested in the case. And some magistrates withdraw, some they don't. And that is one of the challenges that we face in terms of implementation of the Domestic Violence Act. And another factor which we see often is that families, they sometimes pressurize victims to withdraw cases. One, an example was the one, I think it was quite a lot on social media recently, of a lady who was assaulted by the partner, and after arrest has been made, she also came forward to social media to say her own mom is pressurizing her to withdraw the case. So those are the main challenges in the implementation of domestic violence, in that they render the system a little bit, to say in a way, weak, whereas it's actually not the system that is weak, it's the people that end up being routinely known at certain police station. Members of the police knows if it's Friday, so and so will come. If he doesn't come this time, that person will come at a specific time. So those are mainly the challenges. I'll allow my colleagues just to answer some of the questions. General Mshala first, General Matonzi, and then General Mtie, General Zulu in that line, and the other colleagues, General Reed also. Thanks very much, Honorable Chairperson. Thanks, dear.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. My apologies that the gadget that I'm using is not able to access my camera. But one of the reasons why we also have a high number of complaints being registered is as a result of intensified education and awareness programs that both national, province, district and police stations, and together with all our stakeholders, we are intensifying. And there was also a question as to whether are we involving the CPS in addressing the scourge of domestic violence or gender-based violence. Yes, we are indeed. Not only are we involving the CPS, but also the civil society. We involve them, and also through our ministerial outreach programs that are led by both our Honorable Minister and the Honorable Deputy Minister. We always ensure that as we have those type of engagements in our community, with our communities, we also raise the education and awareness. And also a part to that is that in almost all our ministerial outreach programs, we always have different desks, including desks such as Civilian Secretariat for Police Service, and also our inspectorate, which is also dealing with the complaints. And through also, there was also a question about the high number of non-compliance. We are actually, through our first level and second level inspections, we are also ensuring that as part of the combined assurance, we hold those that are non-compliant accountable to ensure that and this is done almost on a daily basis at station level by duty officers, but also by respective commanders, but also including both national and provincial inspection teams. And then I think so far, Honorable Chairperson, we on the issue of the relationship between ourselves and CSPS, from our side, in terms of the the compliance forum, myself and Mr. Ramaru, the acting secretary, we always have a constant engagement to look at areas where there are challenges, so that both of us were able to actually address issues, where be they at the both national or provincial level, to ensure that we address all the challenges that might be different forums might be having, be it either of resource in nature or any other challenges. So we are definitely ensuring that we work with almost all relevant stakeholders, and we always intensify our education and awareness in our communities. Thank you very much, Honorable Deputy Minister, and to the DNC for policy. General Masawa, I submit.
General Matonzi.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I think most of the questions have been covered, but just few comments on my side. On the issue of the victim-friendly rooms, I just want to say that it doesn't mean that because the victim-friendly room is not at that particular station, that means that the services are not provided. The services will still be provided in that particular area. The only difference is that the station will be using alternative arrangements, which might be a local Thuthuzela center or any other space that is available. So the services will still be provided. On the issue of complaints that are not serious, you will recall, Chair, during the presentation, that there were different categories of decision taken against the members who are not complying with the prescript. So in some cases, it happened that the non-compliance, it's an administrative matter where it's regarded as serious after investigation. Therefore, the steps that will be taken will range from just a warning or a verbal warning or a written warning up to the more serious one, where the departmental steps have to be taken. So those will be the different steps that will be taken in those cases. And then on the issue of the challenges for establishing desks, I think we currently, as General Moshara indicated during his presentation, we are establishing those desks, and our target is to have them in all the stations. Of course, in practice, the challenge will be that some of the stations are so small that when it comes to space, you may not be able to establish a proper GPV desk that you want. So those are the challenges that we will currently face when we look across the provinces, but we will make sure that we utilize what we have to make sure that the desks are in place. And then I also see on the chart, Honorable Chair, from the Honorable Member about the stats for cases versus the seizure of firearms. Can I request then that through you, Chair, that when we submit a written report, we also respond to this case in terms of clarifying the numbers, so that it can be clear to the Honorable Members what exactly we are presenting. I think that's all from my side, Chair. Thank you very much.
Good evening, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, our Deputy Minister of Police, the Deputy National Commissioners present in the meeting, and all my colleagues in the platform. Chairperson, I'll be addressing two issues as raised by the Honorable Members, especially the role of human resource management in terms of the questions that have been asked. I'll be responding to the issues pertaining to what are we doing in terms of police officers who are perpetrators of domestic violence, as well as, you know, some of the sanctions that were preferred against those members. And the second part of my response will be on the support that we give to our police officials. Chairperson, I'm just going to highlight some of the outcome of the cases that we have handled through disciplinary hearings. I am Lieutenant General and CIA Chairperson. I am the Divisional Commissioner responsible for Human Resource Management. I am using the gadget of General Masemola because we are still at the college. We had a meeting here at the college the whole day today, Chairperson. Chairperson, I must indicate that our judiciary regulations require that if there is a case, any case against our police officers, we need to initiate a departmental hearings or we need to start with the judiciary investigation. And I can confirm, Chairperson, that in all the cases that were registered during the first semester, Chairperson, disciplinary steps were initiated against our police officers. I can also indicate, Chairperson, that various sanctions were preferred against our officials, Chairperson, ranging from written warnings, verbal warnings. Some officials were not found guilty, and one member left the service before we could proceed or finalize the departmental hearing. And the two officials were dismissed during the first semester of this report, Chairperson. And I must indicate also, Chairperson, that yes, at the end of the first semester, we still had some of the cases that were still pending. But now that we are going towards the end of the second semester, Chairperson, we'll be consolidating and updating our report. And Chairperson can indicate if we need to submit a written response in terms of the statistics and pertaining to the sanctions that we've preferred against our officials. On the second part, Chairperson, of my response, the support that we are giving to police officers who are victims of domestic violence, I must first indicate, Chairperson, that within the SAPS and within the Division Human Resource Management, we do have a component employee health and wellness. And the employee health and wellness, Chairperson, consists of the professionals, qualified psychologists, qualified social workers. We also have our chaplains. And we do have both proactive as well as reactive programs that we offer to our police officers. I can confirm, Chairperson, that we do offer debriefing to all our police officials who are perpetrators or who are victims of domestic violence. And we also offer debriefing to those members that, you know, came across some of the traumatic incidents. I can also indicate, Chairperson, that even through our PolMed, our medical aid, there are programs that our medical aid are offering to our members where our members want to approach, you know, their private social workers or psychologists. Our medical aid do cover such costs. I can also confirm, Chairperson, that as our EHW, they don't only render care and support to our police officers, but they are also doing so to the family members of our police officials. I think I have covered all the questions, Chairperson, that were raised for human resource and management, Chairperson. Thank you very much. I submit.
General Masemola, are we done with that?
Thank you, Chairperson. General Masemola requested that I must respond on the issues around human resource development. I am Lieutenant General Dr. Bongwe Zulu, responsible for human resource development in the department. I will highlight most of the issues we did cover on the presentation in terms of the training that we provide related to domestic violence. But it's not only the domestic violence program that can address some of the issues that we as police officers, we need really to deal with our victims as we capacitate our members. We've got some of other programs like your victim empowerment, because your victim empowerment, it talks to say, how do you deal with your victim? How do you support your victim? How you you give the necessary support as well as the necessary referral to your victim so that he can be able to get as much as possible the, in terms of the assistance, as well as the issues like your human rights, because during these particular activities, somehow human rights are being violated. So we also emphasize these issues as we support the training or the development around the domestic violence matters. So in terms of the training that we've provided in terms of the whole program around domestic violence, we focus to the legislation, which is an act,
And then there's also alignment in terms of the other regulatory framework. Like, for instance, when you deal with this, there's a, the Firearms Act also is important that you link to this, during the training, so that they don't just look at the act, they also look to which other act or regulatory framework that must be linked in terms of this domestic violence. That is what also we emphasize as we train them, our members on domestic violence. And in addition, we also look in terms of what we call it a social context, because there are so many myths around the domestic violence. So we try by all means to give the social context and to try to alleviate all those myths that people are perceiving about the victims or the survivors of the domestic violence, so that we are able to when our police members are dealing with the domestic violence, are dealing it with it accordingly. And also the questions around the forms, the SAPS the forms that they'll failure to do that. Mostly when you go to this to the attending of the complaint, part of it is the filling in of the different registers, as well as also providing filling in correctly those forms. And it's part of the assessment. When we assess them, you should have been able to fill in those registers and the forms, because from the previous reports, even when we review this problem, you know, and one of the things that we find that was important to deal with is to proper attending to the complaint and also filling these registers as well as the forms, as well as supporting the victim in terms of that of domestic violence. So we do provide assistance into the victims, and then we also focus on the non-compliance. In case you don't comply with the Domestic Violence Act, as members, we also focus to say what will happen to you. So that's why then General Masumula alluded to say, if you don't comply, there are consequences. We also emphasize that during the training, and also we also give some information on the administrative issues around domestic violence. There are a lot of things address there, but as I'm saying, not everything you can do it, and then you say there are so many other soft skills that our members are being assisted to, so that they can be able to deal with these issues accordingly. And there was some to say the issues of the rehabilitation. Unfortunately, as human resource development in the department, we are not doing any rehabilitation program for the offenders which are outside the CPS. But however, at a station level, maybe General Masala will be able to talk to, because there are those engagement, the NGOs, as well as the other stakeholders, where at a station level they work together in terms of the rehabilitation, and during also the parole system when the offenders have been out from prison. Thank you so much, Chairperson. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Dr. Zulu. Can I also request everyone on the platform that if you're not speaking, kindly mute your device. General Matamora, are we done with your section, or is there still somebody else to respond?
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I think we are done, Honorable Chair. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Perhaps we should then move on to responses by the TSC.
Thanks, Chairperson. The questions that I'm going to respond to, the ones that were specific to us and provinces, The first one had to do with why do we have high complaints in Free State and Western Cape? And there was a similar question about Gauteng. So at the end, I will request Mr. Masilo, Ms. Sisulu, and Mr. Kutie to respond to those. Then there was a question on the discrepancies between the stats that we're giving and what subjects presented. So which I will request Ms. Tongwana to address to that. So there was a question in terms of whether the stats in terms of non-compliance comparing what we had during the census and currently the honorable member has read it correctly. Yes, it is correct. You have seen that there is indeed decline. As we indicated in one of the slides, we had better compliance levels during the census in 2018-19. But what we're observing now is you have those who had a full compliance or significant compliance, they're going down to partial compliance. And those who were non-complying, some of them now are moving also to compliance or partial compliance. And of course, we have those that are still going down to non-compliance at all. So there is that worrying trend. Then the question about the shortcomings on the current legislation, I think General Masemola has responded to this question. But what I want to add is when we look at the improvements or the amendments on the Act, so we are confident that once those are started to be operationalized or implemented, so there will be changes in terms of, or there will be improvements in terms of how to deal with domestic violence issues. Then there was a question about the relationship between SAPS, CSPS and Department of Justice when it comes to amendment. Yes, I can confirm that when the amendment were drafted, we as the CSPS and also the South African Police Service, we were participating fully in the processes. So the amendments that have been made in the Act, we contributed and SAPS also contributed. Then the question about what support is given to the South African Police Service to improve on complaints or the implementation of the Act. So as we have already indicated, we've got the compliance forum where we meet at national level, we meet quarterly, and I believe at provincial level, so they're more regular than at national level. So during these meetings, so that's where we identify issues. I mean, I will also be answering the question on whether the challenges are raised in these forums. So we raise the challenges that we have identified and we come up with solutions together as the team in terms of how can we improve in terms of compliance issues, in terms of all the areas that we have identified. But of course, the onus lies with SAPS in terms of implementing those, because we can only assist them in terms of identifying and coming up with recommendations. So when we did the presentation, we indicated that we had the census in 2018-19, and we will be having samples that we're doing before we go to another census. So what happens is when we have identified the police stations, we go to those police stations and we request those police stations to come up with improvement plans based on the findings that we have. So we assist them in terms of developing those improvement plans where necessary. And then we monitor the improvement plans to see if the station is really moving. And there are instances where we identify joint projects that we can do as SAPS and civilian secretariat together, or provinces with SAPS. And these joint projects are meant to improve the compliance levels. So there was a question about what is improper conduct. The improper conduct that has been reported is instances where when members of public go to report to instances or incidents at the police station, you find members laughing at them as an example, not treating them with dignity and respect. So those are the cases that we're talking about. So in some cases, they mock these victims. So those are the cases that we are talking about. So once we identify those, we report those to the station commander, and we require that action must be taken. And it's in those cases where if they identify that maybe a specific member was not wrong, which is not always the case, then they will apply for exemption, and then we will exempt them from being punished. There was also a question about the relationship between us and the CPS in dealing with domestic violence cases. We have a program called the GBV Brigades that is implemented in Gauteng. So recently, when we briefed the minister, so there was a requirement that this program should be replicated across the country, that is in all provinces. So we are working already with provinces to make sure that this program is replicated in all the provinces. When you talk about the GBV brigades, so now we are talking about a structure that has to affiliate or which is affiliated to the CPF. And of course, there are programs that we have already started in terms of speaking with CPFs in terms of them taking the DVA issues as part of the campaigns that they need to do, assisting the members of public. So you will recall that one of the provinces even indicated that we need to train traditional leaders. So this is part of that whole program we're saying. So this work cannot only rest with the police, but we need the CPF, we need all the structures that are dealing with safety and security, including the royal or traditional leaders to come on board to dealing with this scourge that we have as the country. In terms of the cooperation, that whether we get cooperation from South African Police Service, yes, I will say in the main we get cooperation from South African Police Service. Of course, there will be instances where you don't get information on time, but in all the instances that we experience such, we consult with or we escalate the matters, and then we get assistance from the managers at SAPS or the commanders at SAPS. General Mashallah has indicated that myself and him, we communicate all the time, which is true. If we are not getting assistance or cooperation, then I immediately give him a call, and then we get such a cooperation. I've also checked with provinces whether they are receiving cooperation, and indeed they've confirmed that generally they are receiving cooperation. So, Chairperson, we're not saying there are no challenges. There are challenges, but as and when challenges arises, we deal with that. As an example, there was a period when at national level, the compliance forum wasn't really functioning. But once we had intervention by senior management or General Mashallah, then things went back to normal and we were able to work. I've already responded in terms of whether we raise challenges at the compliance forum. Yes, we do. So, Chairperson, through you, I'll ask Ms. Tongwana to respond on the question on the on discrepancies. After her, it will be Mr. Masilo from Free State, then it will be Ms. Sisulu from Gauteng, then lastly, it will be Mr. Kutsiye from Western Cape. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of the discrepancies in the information in the steps between ourselves and the SAPS, our information is based on what we receive from the SAPS National Office through the Compliance Forum, but also it is based when it comes to the complaints that are reported directly to our office, which then SAPS might not record immediately, then they can have it later. But also sometimes when we get to the police stations, we find that some of the information is not recorded by the police stations on the relevant forms where it should be recorded, and we will pick that information up as we're perusing the documents like the OB and any other and the disciplinary registers. So we'll pick those steps up that, okay, this was a non-compliance issue, or this was an issue where the member, that the perpetrator of the Domestic Violence Act was a SAPS member. So we will record those kinds of steps into our information. And you'll find that because SAPS are dependent on information coming from the station reporting to them, so if that did not go through to their office, then they would not have that information. But we, like we say, we will communicate those particular steps during the compliance forum. Thank you.
Chairperson, I will ask Mr. Masilo to respond through you.
Good evening, Chair. Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity and honorable members. My name is Mokgethi Masilo from the Free State. with regard to the question of why the high number in terms of the non-compliance in the Free State. There are a number of factors, maybe just to mention two or three of them. What we have picked up, it's a question of a lack of a command and control by the supervisors or commanders at the stations. Because if there was a command and control, you would not find the situation where your 508A and Bs, they are not completed. And there's also a question of inconsistency when coming to the question of your level of inspections. You find them to be very reluctant when coming to the question of inspecting the issues of DVA. And the third one, we in the Free State, we have realized there's also a question of inconsistency when coming to the question of consequence management. There is a problem of being selective when coming to that in particular. We are dealing with one issue where the provincial management itself could not ensure that the recommendations are implemented as far as the discipline is concerned. And there was also a question coming to the issue of what are the challenges? How are we dealing with the challenges? We do have a DVA compliance forum, which sits every month, where we try to ensure that we meet one another halfway in terms of ensuring that we deal with these issues. So that's the platform where we ensure that we deal with the challenges with SAPS. Thank you, Chair, from the Free State. Thank you very much.
Assistant Seeking.
Romaro, I'm not sure if she's still on the platform.
Yes, it looks like she might not be on platform anymore, but then I will ask Mr. Kuzia to respond from the Western Cape perspective.
Mr. Kuzia? He is on the platform, but I'm not sure what the problem is. Okay, perhaps let's continue to the next person. Was there anyone else to respond? Mr. Romaro?
I think from our side, we are done, except okay. for one question that spoke about how do we improve service delivery. Is it in rural areas, which I had forgotten? This is quite a challenge for us and of course for SAPS because of the issues around special training that are planning. But I can indicate that when we do our monitoring, we also make sure that we go to these rural police stations and even the farm police stations as at times you find that they're neglected because they are far from the main centers. And what I have explained earlier, where I said we make sure that when we visit these police stations, we identify issues and make sure that there are improvement plans. But when we do our campaigns, so these are the police stations that we also target to make sure that they are also receiving the services that they must also receive because of their nature. But in the main, it is a common South African challenge with regard to spatial planning. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Romero. I guess the written case response will be part of the written report. Mr. Gutierrez's response will come in writing, as well as those specific areas that might not have been covered. I think we probably will be running out of time at some point. But Deputy Minister, let me hand over back to you if you want to just, in addition to the responses, whether you want to add anything else.
No, thanks. Good evening once more, Chair and members of the committee. I'm quite happy with the responses from the police and the civilian secretariat. And if there are issues that might have filtered through and not being properly appropriately responded to, if you can make us aware of those, we will then prepare written reports and responses and submit to your office, Chair. But thanks for the opportunity to interact with yourself. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister, as well as the team from both the South African Police Services, as well as the Civilian Secretariat for Police. And Deputy Minister, as you indicated, that I think we will liaise with yourself, especially on the outstanding issues that we also felt were not adequately responded to and or not responded to, or where more steps was actually requested. And then Mr. Lattis, I think your comments as well in the chat have also been noted. But let me also then say, let me then also say that Deputy Minister, that we appreciate this presentation that you've made to us today, as well as the responses that have come from both the SAP and the Civilian Secretariat, because I think if indeed it has done one thing was to broaden and or enhance our understanding of the implementation of the Domestic Violence Act in the various provinces, us being the National Council of Provinces, the work undertaken by SAP and the Civilian Secretariat. We are concerned, and members have also raised it, with the higher number of domestic violence cases in police stations, and also of more concern is the high number of domestic violence perpetrated by sub members, as well as the increase in non-compliant stations. But I think we must continue to encourage both SAP and the Civilian Secretariat for Police Services to continue working together to tackle the scourge of domestic violence in our country, and to continue to work together to ensure that the victims of domestic violence receive the necessary assistance and are not subjected to secondary victimization when they report domestic violence cases. And we hope that the necessary training and awareness raising is conducted across all provinces in both rural and urban areas, despite the challenges that you've raised with regard to rural areas. But I think it's important, and I think the acting secretary, Mr. Romero, also raised it, that or the presentation by the CSD has raised it, is that, you know, vulnerable victims of domestic violence should be in a position where they have the necessary trust in the police to deal with their cases with the sensitivity, dignity, and respect that it deserves, but as well as not to take, as well as not to compromise their cases through whether it's administrative or procedural negligence or non-compliance. And I think as a committee, we will continue to engage the department on these issues. This is an area that we feel, in as much as we develop legislation, it's important to look at the implementation of legislation and whether indeed legislation is addressing the issues that society is exposed to. And I think, Chair, Deputy Minister, we take cognizance of the work that has been done by both the South African Police Services as well as the Civilian Secretariat for Police Service. Thank you very much for this presentation and this engagement.
Thank you very much to all the officials, General Matamora and his team, Mr. Romaro and your team, and his team as well. I think this, and thank you for staying with us till this late hour. I think thank you very much, all members as well, for your attendance as well as remaining till the end of this meeting. And I think I'll take this opportunity as well then to prepare this meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good night.
Good night, Honorable Bido.
Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Sister.
Thank you, Jefferson. Good night, members.
Good night, good people.
Thanks.
Recording stopped.